stood on that hill from morning to day. You could see the hunger in our eyes. Praise the Lord, everyone. Good to see everyone here in the house of the Lord tonight, this Wednesday night. Got a somewhat full house, and that looks great. Can I have everybody on your feet tonight? Let's start this service off with some worship and praise. Let's give the Lord a good hand clap of praise tonight. Has he been good to you? Has he been good to you this week? Hallelujah. God has been so good. Thank you, Jesus. God, for all your goodness.
Senior graduation and the celebration will be over in the R.L. Meyer Center. March the 24th is the Thomas wedding, Andrew and Mackenzie. Whew, I'm out of breath, sorry. And there's a gift table out there. Is tonight the last night for that, Sister Amber? Okay. They're getting married this weekend, so try to shower them tonight or sneak it in here the rest of this week. And I also saw that they're doing a honeymoon fund. So if you didn't get a card out here, you can give some money through Cash App. And you know how those honeymoons get very, very expensive. So the 27th is Our Ladies United Fellowship at Taco Delight, and that will be at 6 p.m. At this time, we'll take our Wednesday night offering. Jesus. thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to give tonight, God, not just in finances, but to be able to stand in a building and worship you freely out loud, God. I pray that you would strengthen every individual here tonight, God. I pray for those that are unable to make it. I pray for that person that might just be scrolling through Facebook and come up on our service, God. I pray that you would bless them, God. I pray that your presence would be tangible through the phone, God. I pray for our pastor tonight that you would strengthen him as he ministers to us, God. I pray that you would anoint our ears to hear your voice. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, sorry.
Just a quick announcement. We are going to have our Saturday night prayer meeting like we always have it. We're getting back into the swing of things, and it'll be a regular family prayer meeting like we always have on Saturday night right here. Plus, you'll find out some prophetic updates on the current things that are taking place. You know me, that's what I like, is that prophecy. Folks, we're living in the midst of so many things that is coming to pass right now. I feel sorry for those people that has not studied the Word of God, and they don't know what's coming. And let's just pray for those people right now and pray for our service tonight. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Higher.
Sorry. place right now. Hallelujah. Devil, you're a liar. You still sit on the throne, Jesus.
Care what the doctor said.
Oh, come on.
I don't care what that backslidden child said. I just stay with me right now. We're going to go somewhere, but you hear me. The Bible says that a prodigal son left his father's house. He thought he was living for a good time. The Bible says he left and he wasted all of his inheritance on horrible living. But I want you to notice the picture or the echoes. The Bible says this. The Bible says every single day, his daddy sit there waiting for his boy to come back home. Every single day, he said, it ain't happened yet, but it's going to be done. And some of you have been waiting for a long time. I felt it Sunday. I want to say it one more time. Go stand at the door one more time and say, this could be the day.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
This could be the day they come back home. Well, it feels good on Wednesday. I don't know what anybody else want to do but not come to church on Wednesday. What else you got to do, amen? So good to be in church tonight. Thank you, praise team. That was awesome. My. I like good singing, but I like anointed singing better. And they're good in both areas. Amen. God have mercy. The devil got my iPad. So I'm stuck. This crazy laptop trying to preach tonight. But God's going to help us. Amen. Man, so good to be in church. Thank you for making an effort to be here on Wednesday night. And I know you're tired from the week. And you know, though, it's something about coming to God's presence and just getting a boost in your spirit, if you will. Amen. And I got to move this thing center. I'll stress out if it ain't center. Amen. Praise God. You're welcome. Is that center? Yeah, okay, we're there. All right. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. A scripture you probably heard all your life. And a few days ago, I felt the Lord drop this in my spirit for this evening. And prayerfully, God, to help us unpack this today. Jesus said this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you're worried about, things you're concerned about, he said, all these things shall be what? Added to you. Let's read those first few words again together. But seek first the kingdom of God. I want to talk to us tonight on a simple thought, on simply first things first. First things first. Can we pray? Jesus, we love you tonight. Thank you for your sweet spirit. I'm nothing. I can't do anything, God. I need your help tonight. Thank you for this awesome praise team that led us into your presence, God. So marvelous. Lord, I ask you, anoint us tonight. Speak to our hearts. Help us, God, to receive your word.
Right now in the name,
of Jesus, we pray. Everyone said amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word. I'll never forget, roughly 12 years ago, I was supposed to be preparing to preach a youth event in Silsbee, Texas, if I remember correctly, at Brother Doug White's church. And I never will forget, while I was praying, trying to get spiritual for a message, the Lord began to dig on me about some personal issues in my life. And that's never a good thing. You're trying to get spiritual for a message, and God starts telling you, you got problems. And the Lord spoke to me, Brother Cross, and he said these words in my spirit. He said, when your kingdom goes, my kingdom can come. In other words, what I felt like the Lord was communicating to that 26-year-old kid laying in the floor of a trailer house trying to get a word from God was this. When your pride goes, when your arrogance goes, when your self, whatever it is, when that kingdom of self goes, then and only then can my kingdom come and be set up in your life. And Jesus said the way you get that to happen is, of course, you have to obey him by seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. Now, time is not going to permit me tonight to dive into what all encompasses his kingdom. But if you read just brief commentary, it tells you when you seek his kingdom, you're seeking his rule, meaning you're letting God be in charge of your life. When you seek his kingdom, you're seeking his righteousness. You're living by his standards, not the world's standards. When you seek his kingdom, you're seeking his will. You're wanting what he wants more than what you want. When you seek his kingdom, you're seeking his mission and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, not just coming to church on Sunday and Wednesdays, but you are the embodiment of the body of Christ, going forth from this house, sharing the gospel. When you seek his kingdom, you are seeking his presence in that you're walking with him on a daily basis. And that's not my message tonight per se, but truth be told, without going into an elaborate detail of what seeking his kingdom means, it can be summed up in one word, and that word is called submission. Submission to God and submission to his word. Paul said this in Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Say it one more time. Which is the least you can do, Brad. I just need you to be submitted to my purpose. I just need you to be submitted to my will. And that is the least thing you can do. Jesus even said it when he was teaching his disciples how they were to pray in Matthew 6:10. Jesus said, when you pray, pray this way. Thy kingdom come. Yeah. Thy will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God is tied to, please remember this, the kingdom of God is tied to submission to God. And Jesus told his disciples that their focus in this life was to be one that seeks first the kingdom of God. So this evening, with the help of the Lord, I just want to highlight some of the areas in Scripture that are listed as things that you and I should be doing first. And if we will put these things first, then our walk with God will become, it's a promise, it will become more stronger, and more importantly, it'll become more effective in those who live around you. The first thing's a pretty easy one to figure out, but I want to talk about it anyways, and that is seek God early. Who likes getting up early? Five of you. Ain't nobody want to get out of bed at 6 o'clock in the morning and go pray, man. And, but there's something about seeking God early. And what I mean by that is seeking God first in your day. Notice what the psalmist said in Psalm 63:1. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Now, it's important to note that when David said, early will I seek you, he meant both early in the day and he also meant early in priority. The word early here in Psalm 63. Now, I'm not a Hebrew guy or a Greek guy, so you have to know I can't pronounce half of these words, all right? And I try, but I'm too much from Southeast Texas, and I just can't go there, all right? So I will try my best at times, and if I can't, I'll just say Jesus knows, and we'll move on, all right? So, but the word early in Psalm 63:1 is a Hebrew word called shakar, which literally means to seek him at dawn or early in the day, but also in the Hebrew usage, it also implies seeking God with diligence, with eagerness, and with priority, because when something is important, you always do it first. And David had this understanding that you don't treat God like an afterthought. You put him at the top of the list. You put him above your plans. You put him above your phone. That's hard to do. You put him above your job. You put him above your worries, because he always comes first. In God, in his wisdom, he echoed this in Proverbs 8:17. He said this, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early, they're going to find me. Seeking God first thing in the morning isn't just a good habit, but it sets the tone for everything else. And for most of us, seeking God first means doing that at the very start of your day before your mind gets cluttered. And before distractions start to come in. It's about giving God the first part, not the leftover part. Even scientific research, for all of you who always want doctors to help you out here, scientific research supports the idea that our minds are often most clear and most focused in the morning hour. Studies have shown and proven that older adults, that's us tonight, in particular, exhibit better cognitive performance in the morning compared to later in the day. Anybody besides me ever tried praying about 9 o'clock at night? Anyone know what happened? You went into a coma. And you woke up at 3, repent. Right. And so, or if I pray at midday, my thoughts are all over the place. I can't seem to bring, even sometimes early in the morning, my thoughts are running 100 miles an hour because my mind goes 100 miles an hour all the time. But there's something about scientific research shows, there's something about early morning prayer. There's something about seeking God at the first of your day before your world gets to move. And Jesus himself modeled this. In Mark chapter 1:35, it says this. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place. And there he prayed. When it's all said and done, it boils down to your priorities, and that means putting first things first. And prayer should be, please hear me, should be at the very front, at the very first of your day, seeking God early in your day, seeking God first. Again, it ties back to our anchor verse tonight in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Question is how can you and I truly understand and experience God's kingdom in our lives if we're not seeking him first? What did Hebrews say? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We know all that. But the Bible says that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him. When you seek God first in the morning before you exit your front door, believe it or not, it can help your spiritual health. By seeking God first in the morning, I pray things, and you should pray things like, God, put a watch on my tongue today. Put a guard over my mouth. When you seek God first in the morning, you pray things like, God, help me keep my spiritual blood pressure level today. What am I saying? I'm telling us that when you seek God first, when you seek God before the day turns into a day of potential regret due to you leaving the house not prayed up, not read up, and your flesh in the driver's seat. The first time someone says something you don't like, or the first thing that sets you off. What did Paul say? He said, I'm telling you, you need to walk in the Spirit. And if you walk in the Spirit, he said, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh, it lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. That means in Paris, Texas terms, they're always fighting one another. They're always jockeying for who's going to sit in the driver's seat tomorrow. Who's going to be in control today? And Paul said, these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You're supposed to be spiritual. But if the flesh is in the driver's seat, he said, you can't even be spiritual. And then he lists, because God will never leave you hanging, he tells you what the works of the flesh are. I'm going to read this from New Living because it gives you clarity in what he's saying. Paul said, this is the works of the flesh. He says, sexual immorality. That's adultery, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, idol worship, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Paul said, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's why I tell you that seeking God first is vital for your spiritual health. If you put God in the driver's seat and you stay in the back seat, Paul said, for as many are as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And when he is in the driver's seat, anybody besides me, when you want to say something and you want to hurt somebody or you do some crazy things and you have been praying first that day, you have been doing what you're supposed to do, when you used to, when it went off on somebody, that little bitty red flag shoots up in your spirit. Not nobody. We better pray. Amen. It should be when I would want to put my hands on somebody, when I would want to say something I shouldn't say, that Holy Ghost checker says, oh, you better stop while you're ahead. Oh, I feel Jesus here. Uh-oh. He said, you better calm down while you can, because you're finna do something you're going to regret. What is that? You sought God first. It was before I left the house. God, you got to get in the driver's seat, because I don't trust Brad Davis. I don't trust my flesh. I know me. I had to go to way too many people and say, I'm sorry. Because I know me, and I didn't let God get first in my life on that particular day. And maybe you've never been one to seek God first in the morning. Perhaps you're not one who wants to pray in the morning. You probably should, though. But if you haven't, you should start making that a habit. And let's try it tomorrow. Well, I never have. That's okay. Just remember it, because condemnation will beat you up. You're horrible. You're worthless. You're nobody. That's all right. Jesus said, listen, I'm not worried about your path. He said, a man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back, what'd he say? He's not even fit for the kingdom. Jesus said, I'm not worried about where you've been, but I'm very concerned where you're headed. And so tomorrow morning when you get up, if it's 4:30, if it's 5:30, if it's 7:30, whatever your time is to get up, I challenge you, before you turn the news on, before you check your Facebook feed, before whatever you do in the morning, I challenge you. Get on your knees, go to a secret place, and give God at least 15 minutes of your day. You want to try that tomorrow? Amen. That's not you're a horrible person. No, it's just God wants to challenge you and tell you, you got to keep first things first. And he's serious about seeking him early. I like seeking God with a cup of Tim Hortons coffee. It's okay to laugh. I believe they'll serve coffee in heaven. I just believe that. You may not believe that. Whatever. You can be wrong all you want to be wrong. Amen. But I like seeking God with a cup of coffee. And there's sometimes it's time to get down and get serious and pray, and coffee's got to go by the wayside. But most mornings I can sit and I can talk to God first over that cup of coffee, and it seems like his presence is more sweeter, my mind's more clear. Our kids get up at 6 for school in the morning, so if I'm up about 5:30 trying to get my mind right, trying to get my heart in tune with God, and I realize in those days, it's not you trying to be some super spiritual person. Matter of fact, when someone tells you something stupid like that, you're just trying to be spiritual. No, duh. Isn't that the point? We're just trying to be spiritual people. We're going to a spiritual place called heaven. We are body, soul, and spirit. It's okay to be spiritual. It's okay to pray. Now, you shouldn't get on Facebook and say, well, I pray 3 hours a day. No, I probably wouldn't be doing stuff like that. But it's a good idea to seek God first. It's a good idea to get serious about it. I'm gonna hear me, dad, mom, grandparents. If anything, hear me. It's something about standing guard over your house. There is a spiritual principle. I don't have time for it tonight, but there is a principle. They ain't nothing like a praying daddy and a praying mama together. I ain't talking about just a praying mama, not a prayer. I'm talking about both of them. When there's a praying daddy saying, God, I stand guard in the spirit over my home. I plead the blood. I pray for my family. I go to war over my kids. That's old school prayer. We need old school prayer. Amen. I mean, we need mamas to get between the porch and the altar and weep and travail until the Holy Ghost breaks through somewhere. That's first things first. It's seeking God early. I promise you, if you start seeking God first, he'll wake you up at 2 a.m. I promise you, if God knows he can trust you to get up on it, I'll never forget, Brother Stone King said it years ago, if you'll just be consistent with God, he honors consistency. I don't care if it's 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you got to start somewhere. But start with something and do it every single day, and the more you do it, the more God can trust you. Amen, let's move on. The next area that God wants to make sure you have right and first in your life is we are to be a people. This kind of ties to the first, but it'll make sense more in a few minutes. We are to be a people who love God first and most. Listen to what happens here. Again, the church people in the Bible always make me mad because they're always questioning everything. They're always trying to fight God. And the Bible says in verse 28 of Mark 12, the scribes came having heard them reason together and perceiving that Jesus had answered well. They couldn't stand that Jesus had some type of superiority or that he answered something really well. And they asking this question, which is the first commandment, the greatest commandment of all? Listen to what Jesus says. He establishes two foundational principles. Number one, he said, the first thing you have to understand is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. It's one. There ain't three, ain't two, ain't six. There's just one God. And he was the embodiment of Jesus Christ in the flesh. It's God manifest in the flesh. And he said, also the first thing is you are to love God. How? With all your heart, mind, strength, and soul. Jesus said, the first, the most foundational, the most important command I need you to get is, I am one, and you have to understand I have to be number one in your life. I must be priority. Let's go to an Old Testament verse. The Lord spoke through Moses to Israel and said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, when we think of idols, we think of Old Testament worshiping of wooden carved idols in some temple somewhere, but it was a whole lot bigger than that. It was a whole lot more than a wood image carved from some man's hand. But Paul talks about idols set up in our hearts. And the Lord said that the first and the greatest commandment is that you are to love God first. You hear me? We were never called, I don't care what anybody tells you, we were never called to worship at the altar of success. We were never called to worship at the altar of how much money can I accumulate. We were never called to worship at the altar of seeking affirmation and popularity from this world. We were never called to be a people who worship at idols who cannot give anything back to us. Instead, we were called to worship at the altar called submission to his will, and that happens when you love God first and more than anything else in this world. Notice how Jesus dealt with this. Jesus said to the devil, when the God of this world was trying to get him to fall down and worship him, to worship him as an idol, Jesus said, Satan, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He said, you've got to get in your spirit that you must be a people who loves God first. Nothing wrong with having nice things. Nothing wrong with having money in the bank. Nothing wrong with God bless you. That's all good and great, as long as it doesn't have you. I've met lots of people that it had them and they didn't have God. And God said, you better get a hold of this foundational principle that I've got to be number one in your life. And it cannot be the only time I ask you for help, God, is when I need something. He cannot be somebody who I only love him based off what he has done for me or is doing for me. No, he said, you love God first. And if you loved God first, then God forbid, if a bad diagnosis comes or a job is lost or the family goes half crazy or life knocks you upside the head. When that happens, if God is seated on the throne, if your love for him has always been first, then these things will not deter you and these things will not sink your ship. There's a man in your Bible by the name of the Apostle Paul. He was acquainted, the Bible said, with grief. He knew what it was to struggle. Paul said, I've worked harder. I've been in prison more often. I've been whipped times without number. I've been facing death again and again, five different times. The Jewish leaders, the church folk, they gave me 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night adrift in the sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, the deserts, the seas. I faced danger from the men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry. I've been thirsty. I've gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. And somebody said, I want what the Apostle Paul had. And people pray, oh, I want that kind of anointing. Are you sure about that? You want his power, but you don't want the chaos he had to go through. You don't want the crud he had to deal with. But because Paul was a man who understood, I don't have time, I'll teach it in the future, when the Bible says he died daily, because Paul was a man who died daily to his flesh and he loved God first, that's why he could say in Romans 8, for I am persuaded that there's no angel, no principality, no power, nor things present, nor things to come, not death, nor light, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love. Why, Paul? I got first things first. I gave God priority. Woo! It's vital. You hear me? I just feel a little side note right here. We'll move on. But the only reason why Judas left and committed suicide is because he never loved him first. It's one of the most interesting things in the whole Bible, Brother Kelso. The Bible says this. Now, Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. He knows the guy struggles with money. He knows he's a thief. Anybody know what God set Judas over? The money. Judas was the secretary treasurer of the group. And the guy running the group knew he's a thief. That puzzles me and that messes with my brain. Because why don't God just take care of my problem? I'm going to tell you why. Because God won't never fix what you can fix yourself. He is a gentleman. He will never force himself on you, but he will come to you and say, there's a problem right here. You better address this issue first, because if you don't, this issue right here is going to be the last thing you remember. And Judas never dealt with the issue. And because he didn't deal with the issue, in the end, his problem, his hang-up, his habit is what caused him to sell Christ out. You hear what I'm telling you? You have to deal with whatever the idol, with whatever the it is in your life, because God is serious. It's not just a game where I feel chill bumps. Folks, if you never feel Jesus again, feeling Jesus ain't what saves you. It's what you know that saves you. And if you know you've been washed, you've been cleansed, you've been sanctified, you've been justified by the blood of the Lamb, it matters not what comes against you, but you've got to get every idol out of your heart that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And I'll go a step farther. If you fall in love with Jesus, and if you love him first over everything else, then God can start talking to you in dealing with your heart And it's here, everyone said at the altar. It's here at the altar of loving God first that Jesus said this. Therefore, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 through 24, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, Brother Griffith, he said, if you remember that your brother or your sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. Watch this. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Now let's go into the Greek again, all right? The Greek word here for gift simply means a gift, an offering, a sacrifice, especially something in those days presented at the temple altar. And in this context, when Jesus was speaking here, his audience would have understood gift to be a literal offering brought to the temple altar, part of worship and obedience to God. But in our modern application, thank God, we no longer offer animal sacrifices or give temple gifts. The principle, though, still applies what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you come up here and you worship at the front of the church or in your pew, or if you worship, because when you give your tithe and your offerings, that's also worship. When you're giving, or if you're in prayer, or if you're up here singing, victory in Jesus, and all of a sudden you remember that your brother, that your sister has aught against you. It doesn't matter what act of devotion it is. Jesus said, while you're doing this, he said, leave that gift of worship at the altar. Not just physical place, but leave that at the altar, wherever it is. Leave it at the altar. Go to your brother. Go to your sister. I mean, it goes both ways. If you've offended, if they offended, go to your brother, go to your sister, and be reconciled, and then come back to the altar and pick up the gift of worship. Why do I have to do this? Does it really matter? Well, if you want to go to heaven, it does. The very next chapter, Jesus ties it all together. And this is what your boss said. No, I ain't the boss. He's the boss. Your boss said this. If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father, Matthew 6:14. Your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Here we go, verse 15. But if you do not forgive others of their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. He said it gets pretty weighty right here. It gets pretty heavy because, remember, words are powerful. And he said, if I've sinned against you, if I've sinned against you, he said, you have to make sure. Why? Because the Bible says no sin will enter that city. Never will forget, 2010, Jenna was pregnant with Addison. Any dad ever talk to the baby in the womb? You can raise your hand. Thank you, Tanner. Thank you, brother. Anybody? Okay, awesome. Thank you. Good guys. Good job, guys. All right. So I never forget, I was at the house, and we're finna go to bed, and I was over talking, good night, love you. And I got to get spiritual. Anyway, and so I was talking to her. And when I rolled back over out of the sky, I believe it was the Lord. He spoke to me and said these words. There's not much difference in those two words, wound and womb. And then it went farther and said, both of them produce something. One produces a baby and one produces infection. He said, if you don't take care of the wound, as soon as the wound produces a baby, the infection in the body will kill the baby. Uh-oh, I felt my help walk in the room. And we can't, I can't, you can't, I don't care how spiritual you think you are. You can pray 8 hours a day. And if there's unforgiveness there, you ain't right with God. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means there's something holding on to you. It's called a stronghold. And the Lord said, if you're not careful, that wound can fester and turn into an infection. And in turn, it infects the body. And in case you didn't know, we're not isolationists here. Meaning we don't all serve God on individual islands. We are called the body of Christ. So what affects you, Corbin, is going to affect me eventually. Okay? What affects you, brother, is going to affect me eventually. And if I'm not careful, I can try to have a good forgetter. But sometimes you don't need a good forgetter. You need God to convict you back to getting it right. True conviction, hear me. Condemnation pushes you away. Conviction always pulls you to. That's how you know it's the Holy Ghost, when he starts pulling you to him. Because the Savior is always wanting you in right standing, but he will not force himself on flesh. I can cast the devil out all day long. I don't want to do that, but I can do that. But I can't cast the flesh out of you. Everyone says submission. Seeking the kingdom of God is in that one word called submission. I submit to your will, to your word, and to your way. And his word said, be reconciled with your brother. Heal the wound, and the body will produce healthy babies. Amen. Finally tonight, I want to hit on this in Proverbs 3, verse 9. The Bible says this, honor the Lord with thy substance. It's a pretty powerful verse. And with the first fruits of all thine increase. God said, give of your first fruit. Now this verse has always been taught about tithe and offerings, and there's a principle there. That is true. It is about giving to God what rightfully belongs to him. I'm not going there tonight, but it is about that. But it's a whole lot deeper than that. When God said, give me your first fruits, when God said, give me that what's inside of you, he's speaking of more than money. He's speaking also of your time. What does that time mean? Seeking God early. What does that time mean? Giving of myself in the community. So, see, let me just say this right quick. Now, I'm a weird dude, and you'll see it as we go along. I'm weird. But I don't believe, listen, this is me. I don't believe church stuff happens nowhere up in this house. Real church. We can have good Holy Ghost services. God bless you. That's all great and good. But real church happens when I leave those doors. Real Holy Ghost church happens when I leave outside those doors and I spend my time giving back. Now, some folks think to be spiritual. Again, I want to hit on this, and I'm not knocking prayer, but some folks think they can pray 8 hours a day, fast 4 days a week, and that's all they got to do. Well, they're ignoring the Bible. Because it ain't all about prayer and fasting. It's about getting out and giving to somebody else what you've been given. It's about giving God of my first fruits of my time. Now, it won't look the same for everybody else. Some folks are outgoing. Some folks are introverts. Some folks don't want to talk to nobody, don't want to see nobody. And they're giving back in a total different way. But you have to learn that when you seek God first, I'm telling you, God will put desires in your heart. Remember that verse? God will give you the desires of your heart. That don't mean God's going to give you a Lamborghini. That ain't what that verse means. That verse means that God will give you desires. And all of a sudden you feel like going helping some here at a mission. You feel like giving back and going giving money to a homeless family or giving food to someone. Well, that ain't real spiritual. It's very spiritual. And that's very Bible. Uh-oh, I felt that Pentecostal wall. Not us. We just talk in tongues. Well, you better be careful with that one. Because the Lord is serious about you giving back your first fruits of your time. Before your day gets started, give it to him. When you go in public and you see a need, if God leads you to it, give of that time. When God leads you to call somebody, give of your time. When God leads you to go do something, do that. Give of your first fruits. Don't tell God, I'll work 80 hours and I know we got to work. I'll work 80 hours and I'll do all my hobbies and then I'll give you the last 30 minutes of my day. That ain't good. Everybody said talents. This is a pretty powerful one. I'll end with this tonight. When the writer of Proverbs said, give God of your first fruits, that's your finance, that's your time, and that's your talents. It's important you understand this because there's sometimes we take for granted the talents that God has given us. Amen? So what I mean by that is, it's so often I've been guilty of this. God will give you a gift. I don't care if you believe me or not. Everybody in this house has a gift. Some are maybe more seen in public in a church setting, but everyone has in this house a gift. There's a gift to sing. There's a gift to preach. There's a gift to worship. There's a gift to pray. There's a gift of giving. There's a gift to play musical instruments. There's a gift to teach Sunday school. There's a gift to go be a good bus driver on a bus. Uh-oh. I felt it right there. Hey. I said this Sunday, but when I said it, I thought I better say that again, and that is this. When's the last time you prayed for people you never saw? When was the last time you got a burden for faces that you don't know their names? And the Holy Ghost arrested you in the floorboard because you couldn't stop praying about somebody on the west side of town who don't have Jesus, who don't got this, who's messed up on whatever else. And you pray for their kids that they'll be in Sunday school. Ooh, God have mercy. Well, what am I doing, preacher? I'm giving myself to God wholeheartedly. I'm saying, God, if you gave me a talent, I don't care what. I told you my first night here when Pastor Meyer told me years ago, it messed my mind up. I preached it all the time where I was at last, and that was simply, if God created you, Brad, to be a kidney, make sure you're filtering well. Because don't nobody want to deal with your kidney stones. Well, I'm not seen. It was never about being seen. It was about being available. It was about being, I'm going to end with this word, submitted. I mean, you remember the time you were 18 and you prayed, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do? Remember those prayers? At a youth congress, at a youth convention, at a youth conference, at a youth service, you slobbered, you cried, you wept, and you said, God, I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything. And then 50 years passed. And God said, hey, I'm calling you back into active duty. Not me. I've heard this before. I done did my time. I done gave all I could. I'm done giving. Let me just help you with that. You may not jump as high as you used to jump. You may not run like you used to run, and that's okay. We know the body starts deteriorating. We understand all that. But you still got something left to give, and don't let that adversary sit on your shoulder in your sunset years and tell you you might as well retire to a back pew and die. No, 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 no. That ain't God. There's still gifts locked up inside of you that the Holy Ghost wants to get out of you, and he's telling you, I need those first fruits still. And I end with this. This is why it's a scary one, because the Bible says that God gave some five, some three, some one talent. Remember that story in the Bible? And the Bible says the man that had five talents, what did he do with it? He doubled it. God that had three or two, I forget which one, exactly what it was, what did he do? And then there was a little bitty guy who only got, anybody know what he did? What did he do? Say that real loud.
He buried it.
My. God gifted. God gave him something for the body, and he said, I ain't got nothing to give. The Bible said he wouldn't bear it. Anybody knows what happened next? The picture of the story is Jesus coming back, and Jesus says this next. He's the came that comes to all these guys. Some gave five, doubled. Some gave three or two, doubled, and the guy that gave one. What did he say? I knew you were a hard man. I knew you were tough to deal with. I knew you were hard. So I took... What kind of stupid response to this? I took what you gave me and I hid it away. Now, I want to ask the question because it's a spiritual principle. How many suffered because he was hiding? How many people could have been reached? How many people could have been helped had he have learned, listen, bozo, it ain't about you. It's about you stewarding what God gave you. It's first things first. It's working on that talent. I don't care. We'll do small groups here someday. I don't care if it's a fishing group in the middle of Pat Mays, my good brother with Newberry. I don't care where it is. If the Holy Ghost leads someone to do something like that, if it gets somebody in who never would come to this house, that's a good thing. What am I doing? I'm stewarding what God has given me. It's first things first. Now let's all stand. God is serious about you and about me doing and being everything he has called us to be. I'm going to quote it again. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he said, if you'll seek first, he said, all these things you've been worried about, all these things you've been stressed about, the Bible says they will be added back to you. I challenge you in closing. I won't keep you three or four more minutes. I know it's a work night. I understand that. But I challenge you. There's a couple things I want to challenge you with. Everyone say, seek God first. In the morning, I just ask you, would you just maybe show me your hand? Would you make a promise? Not to me. I'm just a kid. But to God. God, I'll seek you first in the morning. Anybody help me out? Okay. I don't care if it's 5 minutes, all right? If it's 10. You got to start somewhere. All right? And then, help me out. And now, on Friday, will you do me a favor? Will you seek God Friday morning? I lost some of my crowd, all right? Okay, now, I'm getting to Sunday, don't worry. Now, how about Saturday morning? Will you get up and give God 5 or 10? All right, now, I'm gonna do something. This is going to be crazy. Now, lots of folks are involved in Sunday school. We got Youth Sunday. It's going to be a powerful service on Sunday, honoring our seniors. That's all great. But I challenge you Sunday. Before you come to church, remember this. I'm all about prayer rooms, and I'll focus on that greatly in the future. But you hear what I'm telling you. If your heart posture is right before you get here, oh, the flow is so much more easier. I challenge you also. We've got 4 days, folks, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I challenge you Sunday morning. Get up. Give God 10 minutes. And I'm going to make you a promise. If you'll start doing this, after a while, it doesn't mean life's problems are going to go away. That ain't how it works. But it means all of a sudden you have strength you didn't think you had. All of a sudden you have a confidence you didn't think you had. Why? Because you've been getting your priorities right. And as you get your priorities right, you hear me, and God begins to deal with you, don't turn off that voice. Let the Holy Ghost lead you and guide you. And the Bible says something pretty powerful. I'll end with this. I'll lead you and guide you into... What's that word again? Some or what? All. Where I come from in Bonneville, Texas, all means all. That means everything. And God's going to lead you. That's why I say we can preach the word. Sometimes I just scream at you and you leave here with a headache. All right? Any honest people? Oh, my God, too much screaming. Preacher, calm down. I get all that. Yes, I'm nervous. Laughs. Oh God, should I laugh? Not laugh. But it's the truth. Sometimes you come in, you ain't got a clue what was said. But you hear what I'm telling you. If you get this in your spirit, if you get this in your soul, and realize, God, I'm not just coming to hear a preacher preach. I'm after you. I don't have preacher religion. Preacher religion will get you in trouble. And I'm not trying to follow Jimmy Swaggart. I'm not trying to follow Jeff Arnold. And I love Brother Jeff Arnold. But I'm not trying to just follow him and have preacher worship. No. I'm after one person. He died on Calvary, got up out of the grave, and he told me, if you want to follow me, you better pick up that cross and start seeking after me. And if you'll do that, you hear me, the questions you have had, God will lead you into all truth. The burdens you carried, God will lead you into all truth. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you tonight. Thank you for this beautiful church. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Come on, as we worship, let's them sing a chorus a couple times through. Jesus, it's first things first.
Take me there. What you need is just a part.
God, it's first things first, God. I'm going to seek you.
It's right here.
I'm going to go after you. I humble myself before you, Jesus. I want to be more like you and less like you. Help me, God, to seek your face. Help me, God, to run after you, to pursue after your purpose. Pursue after your plan, I pray in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God. Help me, Holy Ghost. I want to seek your face. Help us to be seekers of your power, of your anointing, oh God, I pray. we're dismissed tonight, you need to know that God is, I'm not just saying this, it's all throughout the Bible, but God is madly in love with you. Amen. God is crazy about you. Amen. And when God sends something and like, oh, I don't want to hear that, that's not what I like. Remember, the Bible says this, the only people God disciplines, the only people God convicts, the Bible says, are the ones he loves. If he didn't love you, he'd leave you to your demise. But because he loves you, he sends his word, which the Bible says is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. That simply means, my brother, it cuts going in and it cuts coming out. But the good thing about God is this sword is not one to destroy. It's one to heal. So it may cut out some things, but while it's cutting, things are being put back together. Everyone said first things first. Amen. God bless you tonight. Thank you for coming on a Wednesday night. A great move of the Holy Ghost in this house. And I want to backtrack. I mentioned Jimmy Swaggart. I don't watch Jimmy Swaggart, and I don't endorse Jimmy Swaggart. I don't think you should either, because he ain't true. Amen. I just want to make that clear tonight. Amen. Praise God. We love you. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. See you back here Sunday.